This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Alliance Bank presents you The Breakfast Grill. Top interviews you can't afford to miss on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is The Breakfast Grill. You are with me, Ibrahim Sani. Considering that today's economic times have resulted in us asking ourselves, is this the right time to invest? One company has done relatively well with regards to the distribution of unit trusts in Singapore, Hong Kong and Malaysia. iFast Corporation is a leading internet-based investment products distribution platform headquartered in Singapore, and they have been in business for the past 15 years. We have with us this morning Mr. Lim Chung Chun, Chairman, Co-Founder and CEO of iFast Corporation. Good morning, Chung Chun.
Well, iFast essentially is an internet-based investment platform. We are a financial products distribution platform. Currently, the main products that we distribute are actually unit trust, and we reach out to investors via the B2C channel as well as B2B channel. B2C is via the internet, so we sell funds directly to investors online. We also have the B2B part of the platform where we basically provide infrastructure for various independent financial advisory firms as well as financial institutions who use our platform to help their business run more efficiently. We have a number of different categories of product. The main category will actually be unit trust, but we're in the process of expanding the product range to include things like bonds, ETFs, and eventually stocks as well.
Let's take a look into the opportunities or the possibilities that you're going to be running. When you say distribution of bonds, does this include just to retail investors?
Yes, our main end clients, the end investors investing through our platform are essentially individuals. This includes retail investors as well as high net worth individuals, but predominantly they are individuals. So individuals, when they buy products like unit trusts or bonds, historically they tend to buy from the bank, but alternative channel like iFast is increasingly gaining bigger group of customers. Who find that we actually offer a number of additional value-added features and better pricing on average. So we are increasingly better able to track an increasing group of customers.
Your client base right now is a split between B2B customers as well as retail individuals. Could you share with us how you split this business?
So if you look at our business segment, we have B2B and B2C. I think ultimately both the B2B and B2C segments cater to individual end investors. So the ultimate investors are individuals, but broadly that can be categorized into two groups. The first group will be predominantly DIY investors, do-it-yourself investors. So these are investors who come online to our portal to buy funds and other products directly. So our main B2C internet portal will be fundsupermart.com. So that's the self-directed investors, and these group of investors are comfortable doing the research on their own and then making investment decisions on their own. But the B2B part of our business essentially cater to investors who would like to actually have some advisors to help them. So these advisors could be independent financial advisors, it could be some bank or insurance company. A lot of these companies find that in order to ensure that they can do this business efficiently and have a lot of tools to help them, then it's best that use a platform like iFast to help in the overall business. So this part of the business, what we call the B2B part of the business, and that accounts for about 3/4 of our business. The B2C part of the business is about 25% of our business.
But even though it accounts to 25% of your business, Fundsupermart is indeed the public face of iFast. How do you account for this measurement? Do you plan to grow this segment because it's consumer-driven?
Well, we expect that we will be growing both the B2C segment as well as the B2B segment. B2C, as you know, is making use of the true power of the internet. We reach out directly to a consumer. We are of the belief that we're still in relatively early stage phase whereby investors increasingly adopt the internet to buy financial products. So we expect that the years ahead we will be able to grow this B2C segment well. At the same time, the B2B segment is a segment of business that we expect have a very good potential as well, because in this business segment, we are supporting currently over 150 financial institutions, including independent advisory firms, who are using our platform to do their business better. And within this over 150 companies, there are more than 5,000 representatives who are using our platform. So very clearly, it's a business segment that has a lot more growth potential. Growth will come from the fact that we expect to sign up more companies, the fact that we expect to have more representatives using our platform over time, and as we broaden the product range as well, I think this business segment will have good growth potential.
Let's talk about your product managers or product providers right now. I would assume that you would have a lot of fund houses, some bond dealers, as well as some insurance companies among your repertoire. How do you select which products to be listed on iFast?
Well, we currently have over 115 fund management firms who are working with us, so we carry products. Currently, we carry, I would say, over 2,000 products, most of which are funds, and the funds come from over 115 fund managers. So we carry the products from most of the international fund houses that are already present in markets like Singapore and Hong Kong. So the leaders of the fund management world, etc., they are generally present in both Singapore and Hong Kong. So we are carrying many different products. So as a platform, we adopt an open architecture system whereby we try to carry a good range of products and products that are in various asset classes that will fill the investment needs of different kind of investors. So that is range of product that continue to increase, and yeah, that number of funds that we carry will continue to grow.
Considering that there's a few investment products out there, why did your firm deep dive into unit trust as the first product line to venture into?
Well, we started our business as an online unit trust distributor. That's in the year 2000. So that's where we started our business via the portal fundsupermart.com. So fundsupermart.com has been around in Singapore for 15 years. And today that is the best known brand consumer front that people know of us. So that's our starting point. And we started at a time where consumers actually find that it's difficult to have a place whereby they can find the information, sufficient information and research on the different type of unit trusts, the different funds that have been carried. So we saw the opportunity for a portal that provides a good level of research and information to cater to the needs of consumers, and with that also a way to distribute efficiently to consumers. So that's how we started, and from there then we evolved to add the B2B part of the business, initially also for unit trust, but as we move on, we actually find that investors who use our platform also want to have access to other products such as direct bonds, so that's why we start to also broaden the product range that we carry.
The problem with being a unit trust distributor is on economies of scale. It is often said that FundSupermart has lower normal sales charge. Any reason this is so? Why is your sales charge normally lower than those offered in the market?
The main reason is because we have a business model that is actually more efficient than most of the traditional model. For most of the traditional models, you actually find that cost structure can be quite high. So for instance, for the bank, they typically find that it can be quite a hefty cost structure because they also have to support the sales team as well as the branch infrastructure, etc. So there's a certain level of cost that they actually have to carry. Whereas for the online unit trust distributor like FundSupermart, we basically have far more efficient cost structure. We make use of the internet to reach out to consumers, and we have investors who regularly come to our website for investment ideas and for research. And from there, then when they decide to invest, then they find that they can easily do that through us. So overall, because of the fact that we have business model that's more efficient from perspective of cost structure, that's why we can pass on some of the savings to consumer.
Can you share with us your customer growth thus far over this past 15 years in Singapore and elsewhere around the globe?
Yeah, there are a few ways to look at our customer base. So for the B2C part of the customer, we have the different end investor. So for the B2C part of the business, we currently have over 60,000 investment account holders in the three countries. For the B2B part of business, that has its own end investor. On the B2C side, there are over 100,000 end investors.
Now, how are they distributed across your geography?
The majority of that currently still comes from Singapore, but Hong Kong and Malaysia are markets that are actually growing quite healthily for us. And across these three geographies, one of the main measures that we look at would be what we call the assets under administrations, which are essentially the investment products that have been distributed through our platform and continues to be viewed on our platform. That, for the fund manager, they'll call it asset under management. We call it assets under administration. So that number has grown over the years. As of middle of 2015, our assets under administration, or AUA, amounted to 5.7 billion Singapore dollars. That is a number that has been growing over the years, and we continue to seek to grow this AUA that we have, and with that, then our overall sales and profitability will grow accordingly as well. Some funds pay out dividends, and the funds on our platform where they pay out dividend, we typically will give them the option of either receiving the dividend in cash, or they can choose to reinvest the dividend automatically back into the same fund. So that will be the reinvestment part of it. So essentially, it's really the choice of the investor in terms of what they will prefer to actually do.
If you have just tuned in, we are speaking with Lim Chung Chun, Chairman and CEO of iFast Corporation in Singapore. Let's talk a little bit about your revenue. You split it to recurring and non-recurring revenues. What constitutes each portion?
Yes, recurring revenue currently accounts for about 80% of our net revenue. Net revenue is what we keep for ourselves, excluding what is passed on to the different B2B companies who use our platform. So net revenue will be a key revenue measure for us, and of that, 80% are actually recurring. The biggest contributor to the recurring revenue would really be a share of the management fee that the fund management firms charge. So as a distributor, because we have to perform a lot of ongoing work, including being a custodian, sending statements to the end client, and continuing to provide advice to the investors, you actually find that the normal arrangement is for fund managers to pass on part of the management fee to the distributor so that we can continue to service the client well. So the trailer fee or share of the management fee account for majority of the recurring income that we actually have. So that is a base of revenue that we seek to continue to grow. We believe that this business model that we have adopted is something that put us in quite a powerful position, because if you want to be a serious advisor, serious distributor who can advise clients well in all kinds of market conditions, then it's actually important that we have a good base of recurring income, so that through good and through bad times, through boom and through crisis, we are in a comfortable position to advise investors well. So that's why historically we have ensured that that recurring income continues to be something that grows.
Chung Chun, considering that unit trust is a rather high risk, high return type of investment, how do you take it upon yourself to advise your customers with regards to this kind of investment?
Well, firstly, on your point about unit trust being high risk, high return, I think that is perhaps not fully accurate, because the reality is that there's a broad range of unit trust out there that ranges from the very conservative product, low risk product such as money market fund or short duration bond fund, to the much higher risk unit trust such as a fund investing in the technology sector, equity fund in technology sector, or equity fund investing in the commodity sector.
Right. So for example, the money market fund, what are the average returns that you've seen for the past 2 or 3 years?
I think the money market fund also depends on what they invest into. So if you take money market fund in Malaysia, ringgit money market fund, then I think in the last few years, you're seeing that they're able to deliver in the range of 3% thereabout per year.
What about technology funds, as you rightly pointed out, could be more of a riskier type of investment?
Yeah. So technology fund is something that can be rather volatile on a year-to-year basis. So you sometimes find that they actually go up substantially in double-digit territory, or at times in certain year they also go down by double-digit territory.
So double-digit, does it hit, let's say, 30, even 40% type of
it
returns?
It is possible. Certain years, I think you do see swings of 30% on the downside at times. I think we have seen that kind of slumps before. On the other hand, certain years, we also see returns of in excess of over 50%. So it really depends. But I suppose what matters really is that if you're thinking from a longer-term perspective, then a good technology fund can also typically give returns of double-digit returns in the teens, I would say.
Returning to the central discussion just now, how do you advise your customers with regards to the different type of portfolios or risk and returns of your products that you are actually offering them?
I think when it comes to investments for all investors, one of the starting point really is the overall asset allocation decision that has to be made. Before the asset allocation decision can be made, then we have to look at the risk profile of the investor as well as other considerations such as the time horizon. So we have to look at whether that investors should be buying into a portfolio that are essentially a conservative portfolio, or is it a balanced portfolio, or is it an aggressive portfolio. If we do decide that, for instance, investors should buy into a balanced portfolio, then you typically find that the recommendation that we'll make will be a portfolio that will be investing into different asset classes. It could be, for instance, 60% into equity funds and 40% into different kind of fixed income fund. So the equity fund itself will be diversified across different geography. It could be US funds, it could be Asian fund, it could be China fund. The fixed income fund itself could actually be in also different kind of fixed income fund. You have the low risk or money market fund. There's also the medium risk fixed income fund such as Asian bond fund or emerging market bond fund or high yield bond fund, etc.
Because you need to maintain some sort of income generation on your part. You have to keep your company profitable, but at the same time, you have to balance the fact that transparency in the funds that you offer to your clients have to be there as well. How do you manage this seesaw balance here?
Well, since the formation of fundsfumbart.com in Singapore in year 2000, we have always prided ourselves on being able to be a distributor and advisor that give transparent and honest advice, as well as competent advice on the basis of understanding the various market cycle. So we have started by equipping ourselves with a mission statement that essentially says that we are there to help investors globally, to invest globally and profitably. So that mission statement tells ourselves that along the way, as we advise the investors, the starting point has very much to be that we want to make sure the advice we give will be something that will help the investors generate good level of return with a manageable level of risk over time. Most distributors would like to be able to be in that position, but the business model that we have crafted for ourselves is actually something that allow us to do that better, right? Because it is a business model whereby we build up recurring income over time. Of course, the initial period for us, the first few years was tougher because we are not profitable yet. We took about 4 or 5 years before we broke even and turned profitable. That was in Singapore. And after that was the case, then that became something very comfortable for us. So once we got to a stage whereby we have the economies of scale, we have a good base of recurring income, then the momentum just moved from there. We continue to be able to provide better service, ensure that we provide good advice through all kinds of market conditions, and advise investors well.
But in a position where you would have to source for profits for your firm, at the same time managing the rights of providing the right information to your customers, which type of decision do you have to lean on?
I don't think it's either or. There's no either or. It has to be a both, right? So the company need to be able to do well financially, but at the same time, we need to make sure that investors are able to receive good, competent advice. And our formula of doing so is basically recognizing upfront in the initial years that we're taking longer to break even than a lot of other traditional business models. So we took 5 years for us to break even and make money. So we were comfortable with this notion that, yeah, we just have to do the right thing, build up the skill over time, gain the confidence of investors, and once we're able to do that, then after 5 years, then we become very comfortable.
The issue here is that your company has been reported to plan to pay quarterly dividends for 2015. Doesn't this add some sort of pressure to the management to keep up your net profits at a good level?
Firstly, I think the dividend is 0.8 cents rather than 68 cents, just to be accurate. Yeah, so guidance that the company has given is that we will pay out 60% of the profit that we generate for the current year. So that is the guidance. Does that give us some kind of a pressure? Well, I think as with all businesses, we do aim to be able to grow our overall profitability, and we believe that we have a good business model that allow us to continue to grow. As to whether there's pressure to grow the profitability by extremely high percentage, I would say not exactly. We set for ourselves a level of growth that we believe is achievable and manageable based on our business model. And we think that we can continue to push ahead through all kinds of market conditions and be comfortable to in doing what we need to do for both investors as well as shareholders.
The MasterCard Financial Literacy Index places Malaysia, Singapore on rather high in terms of financial planning. Do you think the market in Malaysia is ready for the services that you offer?
Yes, certainly it is ready. We have our fundsmart.com in Malaysia that has been operating for the last 7-8 years.
But within 7-8 years, I think it only got about 3% of your revenue, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
Malaysia, yeah, is currently about 4% of our group revenue, because we are in Singapore, Hong Kong and Malaysia currently, and Singapore and Hong Kong are bigger markets for us.
So having been here for 7 years, but still contributing about 4%, what is the main reason behind that?
Part of the reason is because in markets like Singapore and Hong Kong, we have a much bigger B2B segment of the business. In these countries, the number of independent financial advisory firms that are in the country are much more than in Malaysia. So our B2B business in Malaysia is a smaller part of our overall Malaysia business than for Singapore and Hong Kong. So I suppose the fact that the B2B segment isn't as well developed for us in Malaysia has resulted in the fact that percentage contribution from Malaysia, the group number, is not as high. But we are certainly seeing a business for us that is actually having a growth momentum. We continue to grow our business well, and we expect that to continue in the years ahead.
Thank you, Chung Chun. That was Lim Chung Chun, Chairman and CEO of iFast Corporation in Singapore. You've been listening to The Breakfast Grill with me, Ibrahim Sani, on BFM 89.9.
The BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by Alliance Bank. Banking made personal. A total banking relationship that rewards you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.